Radio Prague News.
The education minister is under pressure to resign over irregularities in EU-funded projects. An expert study has suggested that a planned ski resort at Hranicik in Šumava National Park would have a negative impact on the local environment. Former managers at the state-run Road and Motorway Directorate charged in a corruption case include a suspect who threw a party at the cost of 750,000 crowns. Education Minister Josef Dobes is under pressure to resign over irregularities in EU-funded projects. Brussels announced a day earlier that the Czech Education Ministry would see its EU funding suspended over irregularities in public procurement. Auditors from Brussels have advised suspending all further payments from the Education for Competitiveness operational program until the matter is cleared up. EU funding at the ministry has been plagued by problems in recent years. On Wednesday, the ministry's fifth head of section in charge of EU funds unexpectedly resigned after just 8 working days in the post. Minister Dobes has requested a meeting with the prime minister. An EIA study has suggested that a planned ski resort at Hranicik in Šumava National Park would have a negative impact on the local environment. The study was commissioned by the region of South Bohemia, which has gotten behind the project for the new hill. 4 alternatives describing a planned chairlift, parking space routes, and ski runs have been tabled. But because the new ski hill and lift would require an extensive introduction of new infrastructure in what is a biosphere preservation area recognized by UNESCO, the EIA study suggests such a plan would be unsuitable unless it were proven to be markedly in the public interest. Among those who supported plans for a new ski hill was Czech President Václav Klaus, news site Aktuálně CZ said. The financial daily Hospodářské noviny has reported that 3 former top managers at the state-run Road and Motorway Directorate, charged with corruption that cost the Czech Republic hundreds of millions of crowns reportedly, include Michal Hala as well as a former company lawyer. The daily cited anonymous sources confirming that the men were in custody on the suspicion of property mismanagement and accepting bribes from 2 firms in return for cheap contracts in the lease of property, rest areas, along the D5 and D47 highways. 1 manager is believed to have received more than 15 million crowns. The 2 heads of the businesses involved have also been charged by the police. Michal Hala attracted broader attention 2 years ago when, on the occasion of his birthday, he threw a party for 300 guests, reportedly costing 750,000 crowns. A boat laden with flowers and wreaths dedicated to the late ex-president Václav Havel, who died at the age of 75 after prolonged illness a fortnight ago, will launch from a pier in Prague on Saturday morning, traveling on the Vltava and Labe rivers toward Děčín, North Bohemia. The news was revealed by Sabina Tančevová, secretary to Mr. Havel's office. The idea, she said, was that of musician Michal Kocáb and visual artist David Černý. Mr. Havel's family and office staff agreed with organizers that the many flowers and wreaths brought to Mr. Havel's funeral last week could be displayed on a final journey that viewers would be able to watch from the riverbanks. Turning to sport now, in the world of hockey, Czech star Jaromír Jágr led the Philadelphia Flyers to a 4-2 win on Thursday over his former club in the NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins, with whom he earned 2 Stanley Cup rings back in the early 1990s. The player scored what NHL.com described as a stellar goal against the Penguins in front of a tough and energized crowd. The Czech news site IDNES, meanwhile, reported that Penguins fans booed the star Czech player, but that Jágr joked after the game that he thought they were chanting they loved him. After scoring, the player skated to the glass where he saluted, a famous gesture used in the past by Jágr that Penguins fans no doubt recognized. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's program, Czechs are debating ways of permanently honoring the late President Václav Havel. Then we'll have a roundup of this week's business news, and later we'll look at how the fall of communism and return of democracy changed the Czech literary landscape. All that coming up, so please stay tuned. As the shock of Václav Havel's death slowly wears off, Czechs are considering the best possible ways to honour his memory and uphold his legacy for future generations. Proposals range from the sentimental, a heart of wax melted from the thousands of candles people lit for their hero, to the stately, a law stating his contribution to freedom and democracy. Daniela Lazarová has the details.
For a brief moment, Václav Havel's death recaptured the mood and sentiment of the 1989 Velvet Revolution. Steeped in apathy over widespread corruption and fears of an economic downturn, Czechs once again gathered on town squares to recall Václav Havel's legacy and his conviction that truth and love must prevail over lies and hatred. Clearly, many people are loath to relinquish those ideals and would like to see the Havel trademark stamped on every corner as some sort of guarantee that the late president's legacy will survive. As one suggestion follows another, there is argument over what is appropriate, what is sane, and what the late president himself would have liked. Possibly the most publicised initiative is the proposed renaming of Prague's Ruzyně Airport to the Václav Havel International Airport. The idea is gaining widespread support and has been signed by over 70,000 people, among them Václav Havel's widow Dagmar and his brother Ivan. Although the company running the airport has already registered the Václav Havel International Airport trademark ahead of a possible change, the idea is opposed by Mr. Havel's former aide, Vladimir Hanzel, who says the airport is too commercial a choice and that naming a theatre after the playwright turned president would be a better idea. There is now debate over which theatre would be best suited to carry the late president's name and the fact that such an honour would mean a certain commitment in reflecting the spirit of the Havel legacy. On a more sentimental note, Czech artist Lukáš Gavlovský plans to mould a 2.5-metre-high wax sculpture of a heart made from the thousands of candles people lit for their hero on Wenceslas Square. Václav Havel liked to add a heart to his signature, and Gavlovský says the candle wax is filled with people's hopes for a more decent society. The artist wants to mould the sculpture on Wenceslas Square, possibly with help from passers-by. Even the flowers and wreaths people heaped around Mr. Havel's casket are sacred. They will be piled onto a pontoon, which is to sail down a stretch of the Vltava and Elbe rivers, as a final tribute to the late president. On its 3-day voyage from Prague to Děčín, the platoon will be accompanied by steamers, and people have been invited to come to the riverbank to see it go by and bid the late president a last symbolic farewell. It is hard to say what Václav Havel himself would have thought of the pomp and ceremony accompanying his demise. As one commentator noted, he failed to give us any leads in this respect in his lifetime. However, as a modest man who took a delight in the absurd, he would have found much to amuse him. Mr. Havel himself requested that he be buried in the family tomb, with only his name engraved above that of his first wife, Olga. He has already left a big part of himself in existing institutions. The Dagmar and Václav Havel Foundation, the Prague Crossroads Spiritual Centre established in the former Church of St. Anne, and the Václav Havel Library. Of all the suggestions up in the air, there is one that would almost certainly have pleased the late Václav Havel. His close friend, founder of Charter 77, František Janouch, has suggested establishing an international human rights award in his name. During his last appearance in public, the former president and the Tibetan spiritual leader Dalai Lama signed an appeal to the international community asking it to support dissidents around the world.
That report was by Daniela Lazarová, who stays with us for a roundup of the latest business news.
The Czech crown this week fell to its lowest against the US dollar since July of 2010, when it sold on Thursday at 20 crowns and one heller to the dollar. The volatile Czech currency gained slightly on Friday when it traded at 19.98 to the dollar. Against the single currency, the Czech crown has remained below the 26 crown mark to the euro. The Czech crown has depreciated primarily as a result of growing concerns about the future of the eurozone. Although the Czech Republic has not adopted the single European currency, its economy heavily relies on that of the eurozone. However, analysts say that a weak crown will benefit the country's export-oriented economy.
The Czech Republic's largest bank, Česká spořitelna, has given up a legal battle over its assets in the bankrupt lottery giant Sazka. The news website Aktuálně.cz reported on Thursday. The bank sold its claim worth around 215 million crowns, or more than 10.7 million US dollars, to the KKCG Group, one of Sazka's two major creditors. The Česká spořitelna bank at the same time dropped all its lawsuits against the firm's sale to the KKCG and PPF groups, which in September paid 3.8 billion crowns for the bankrupt company. Sazka went bankrupt earlier this year due to its debt related to the construction of a multipurpose arena in Prague. In September, the firm was sold to the PPF and KKCG groups.
The Czech Republic's foreign debt increased by 80 billion crowns in the third quarter of this year, reaching 1 trillion and 860 billion crowns, or 49% of the country's GDP, according to figures released by the Czech National Bank on Friday. Meanwhile, the debts of Czech households with banks and loan providers rose by 5.3 billion crowns in November and reached a total of 1 trillion and 108 billion crowns, or nearly 60 billion US dollars. Compared to the previous year, Czech household debts increased by 58 billion crowns. Corporate debts in November rose by over 51 billion year on year and reached a total of more than 962 billion crowns.
Sales of alcoholic beverages in the Czech Republic this year are expected to reach some 58 million litres, down by around 2 million litres, or between 3 and 5% compared to the previous year, according to figures by the Czech Union of Spirits Producers and Importers released this week. This year's slump in alcohol sales comes after a considerable decrease registered in 2010, when sales of alcoholic beverages dropped by around 8 million litres, mainly due to an increase in the consumption tax. Consumption of beer also decreased significantly this year by around 8%.
The Czech Republic's Vietnamese community has launched its own discount website, offering bargains in cosmetics, restaurant meals, hotel stays, alcoholic beverages, foodstuffs and other deals, the website moneymag.cz reported. The site also features articles of general interest and discussion forums. The website is run by a firm registered in Prague and follows an increasingly popular trend of discount websites in the country. The Vietnamese community, with around 45,000 people, is the Czech Republic's third largest minority, after Slovaks and Ukrainians, according to this year's population census.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. In this edition of The Arts, we take a look at how the fall of communism in 1989 changed the Czech literary landscape. Writers were at the forefront of the Velvet Revolution, but when the dust settled on the political changes, they found a fast-changing publishing revolution underway that left some of them sidelined. Chris Johnstone explores the changes in the publishing and literary world over the last two decades.
The Velvet Revolution was, in many respects, about authors and words. Of course, there was the playwright dissident himself, Václav Havel, who came out of the shadows where he was put by the censors and persecution to lead the revolution that overthrew communism. Havel and other dissident writers were outside the state-controlled publishing system and had to rely on publication of their works abroad by publishing houses, mostly run by exiled Czechs, or at home as illegal samizdat versions. So it was no surprise that the impact of the revolution in the publishing and the literary world was fast and far-reaching. The carefully planned state system was ill-equipped to meet the demand for new books on everything from guidebooks to school textbooks and literary works not tainted by the recent past. One of the first to see the new opportunities was Jan Kanzelsberger, a bookshop manager under the state system. He jumped at the chance to realise his dreams of launching his own chain of bookshops that would adopt the best from the West. The family business has evolved into the biggest Czech chain of bookshops, with around 40 outlets around the country. His son Jan, now one of the top managers of the family firm, remembers the early days.
In 1990, there was practically overnight change for the whole system. Before 1990, there was a planned economics, so it means that there were a strictly limited number of state-owned enterprises. It was a strictly limited number of titles planned for months in advance. And practically overnight, there were possibility to set up own business as a publishing house and to publish any book you wanted and to sell it anyhow you wanted. So it means that practically within 1 year, there was a change of number of publishers, beginning on, let's say, few, maybe 30, 34 publishing houses in Czechoslovakia, has changed within 1 year up to 3,000 of publishers practically overnight.
One of the first tasks of the new publishers was to meet the demand for those books that had been banned under communism. As Jan Kanzelsberger recalls, it was difficult to keep pace with the freedom frenzy.
There were huge amounts of copies sold. There was thousands and thousands of sold because there was a big hunger on such kind of literature, which was banned before 1990. And readers were hungry to read it and to get the books. So it was a big change within a very short period to switch on the new economics. Some of the publishers or the former state companies were not able to survive a very long period in this new time and new conditions. They were too fixed on planned economics that they cannot survive in the new style of free economics.
The demand for the forbidden fruit of the former regime's blacklisted authors continued for some time after the revolution, with what now appear to be astronomic sales figures being achieved. Jan Kanzelsberger recalls one trip to meet market demand.
I remember the first time my father, it was in the beginning of 1991, he was taking the van and traveling to Germany to exile publishing houses. He fulfilled the van of books. We stopped at the Wenceslas Square on the corner and we were selling practically directly from the van, and the van was sold out within a few hours. People were queuing and they were even not waiting. When we get the books inside of the bookshop, they were very crazy about to have such books. And within this year, the Czech publishing houses started to make a reprints of those exile publishings, because the exile publishing has a quite small print run of such a books. Of course, they were not prepared for have a big audience and big number of customers. So many of publishers started to, for example, book Černí baroni from Miroslav Švandrlík was one of the banned books. It was a humoristic book. And I think, as I remember, the first Czech free edition of this book was in 200,000 copies to be sold within 1 month or so, within a few weeks. It's, for example, it's the same amount of copies published of Harry Potter in Czech language. So it was, in that time, it was kind of Harry Potter.
Other changes were taking place as well. As well as the publishing business, the bookshop themselves began to be transformed. The communist-era sales counter operations, where an assistant would suggest what you select from the inaccessible stockroom, gave way to literary supermarkets where you filled your basket with the written word. Translated works from the West also began to become bestsellers and demanded a large part of the shelf length in the new-look bookshops. Under communism, foreign authors had been translated, even unlikely ones such as British author Evelyn Waugh, but not those who could represent an ideological challenge.
In a regular bookshop, we have one or two maximum bookshelves for Czech authors now, and about four, five or six bookshelves for the foreign authors translated into Czech language. So in the number of titles, you can see this proportion. But if you look at the top bestsellers, you see that maybe half of the top bestsellers are Czech authors or the books by Czech authors. So we have to say that there is not so much Czech authors in the market, because we are a very small market with limited number of inhabitants in Czech Republic, and we have to translate the books and absorb books from abroad. But Czech authors are very, very favorite, and if the Czech author is a good one and well accepted, it is it has a quite long tradition and their own readers who always buy his new book.
If anything, Jan Kanzelsberger detects something of a dilution of the foreign invasion over recent years. He says that in the mid-1990s, almost any fairly well-known Western author was almost guaranteed to notch up respectable sales on the Czech market. Now, only the big names, such as Dan Brown, will get that star reception. The biggest Czech grouping of writers, Obec spisovatelů, or the Community of Writers, numbers around 650 members. Some of them are big names, such as Ivan Klíma, but many are less well-known, and writing is something in addition to the day job. From his perspective upstream in the literary production line, Chairman Vladimír Krivánek does not doubt that the Velvet Revolution was the right step, but still feels that the initial hopes for something different have been shortchanged.
Já, kdybych to měl zhodnotit, já v každém případě si myslím.
If I had to evaluate all this, then I would have to say that the majority of us are convinced that the changes had to happen. Few of us would want to go back to the situation under the previous regime. The second thing is that we dreamed and imagined that this new world and state would be a bit different, and from time to time we are affected by a certain disappointment and disillusion. But I think this is a normal path.
Já si myslím, že to je normální chod.
Communist support for the literary world was generous, as long, of course, as you were willing to make compromises and toe the line. Mr. Krivánek says he did not seek to get his poems published in the 1970s because it was meaningless in the atmosphere of disillusion following the crushing of the Prague Spring in 1968. But he did get a collection of his works published at the end of the 1980s, when there was a thaw in the literary world and powerful party-backed Writers' Guild. While he does not regret the liquidation of the guild, Mr. Krivánek does feel that the removal of state support for writers went too far after the revolution.
Po tom 89. možná zbytečně.
After 1989, perhaps we pointlessly gave up some of our economic benefits. Certainly the guild had to be dissolved because it was immoral, but I think they could have transferred a bit of their property. Instead, here we are set up as a civic association so that we could not be tarnished. So now we are clean, but poor.
Takže jsme čistí a chudí.
Mr. Krivánek describes the contemporary setup in the Czech Republic as pretty uncultured. He points out that there is not even a law in place calling for the state to support culture. Apart from that, he says the broader Czech literary scene is handicapped by serving a small local language market in which writers struggle to get noticed on a broader stage. He maintains that there are a handful of contemporary Czech poets who would be global stars if they had been born in an English-speaking country. As well as this, he says the massive worldwide publishing industry seeks to push foreign bestsellers on the back of formidable marketing muscle.
Té náročné umělecké literatury v tom celku vám zbyde velmi málo.
As for demanding artistic literary work as a whole, there is not much of that left. It is often translations. We read translations and translate a lot. I have the impression sometimes that we often translate overrated bestsellers. I sometimes have the feeling we feed ourselves with the waste of US culture. Unfortunately, that is how it is. Maybe it is not a popular thing to say, but whatever is regarded as an interesting title in the US is translated here within a year, and backed up with massive marketing. That is the bestsellers. The overall choice is enormous, but it is also a bit false. 90% of the offer is low-level literary rubbish, factual works or second-rate historical novels and such like.
Řekněme faktu, nebo velmi pokleslé historické romány a tak dále.
With around 500 new titles appearing in Czech bookshops every day, the market has certainly turned a page in terms of quantity. But there are certainly those who would argue whether there has been a corresponding increase in quality.
T
That edition of The Art by Curtis Johnstone was first aired in November 2009. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language learning program, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Welcome to Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn useful phrases through song lyrics. Today's song is by a well-known Czech singer, Eva Pilarová, and it's called Thunder Upon You, My Love. And yes, today's phrase is the name of the song itself, Hrom, aby do tě lásko věl, which literally translates as May thunder strike you, my love, or, which makes slightly more sense, Thunder upon you, my love. It is a phrase we all want to use once in a while when we're not happy with the state of affairs. Hrom do toho, or thunder upon this, is something akin to the old English saying a pox on you. And you can say it about anything at all, something that is proving hard to fix, a situation you are not happy with, or, as in the case of the singer here, a man who has gone and left you unexpectedly. So let's listen to the phrase again. Hrom, aby do tě lásko už, hrom, aby do tě lásko už, hrom, aby do tě lásko už prásk. A bit of repetition there. May thunder strike you, my love. I had a man one day, the next he'd gone away, Eva Pilarová sings. And doubtless there are plenty of women out there who at some point in their lives have made good use of this phrase. Another way you can put it is k čertu s tebou, lásko, or jdi k čertu, in other words, go to the devil, my love. That latter phrase, I'm sure, exists in most languages, but let us go back to the original phrase. You're probably wondering why it is not lightning that should strike down, and I'm afraid I don't have a simple answer for you. Possibly our forefathers who coined the phrase thought that thunder was more impressive than lightning. In any case, it is used to this day. There is a phrase that includes both thunder and lightning, though. Lítali hromy a blesky means thunder and lightning came down, and it can be used to describe a huge conflict. Well, I certainly hope you have as few of those situations as possible in the coming year. Best wishes for a happy new year, šťastný nový rok. And until next time, nashledanou.
Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck was the final part of Radio Prague's English program for today. All our shows are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.